Scott and I were talking last night. If you're going to bet on one team to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC right now, who are you taking?
I mean, it's funny. If you're assuming the Bills are in, there may be number two for me. I mean, right. or they're one, or they're somewhere in there with Baltimore and Kansas City.
Well,
I mean,
if you want to take a flyer, they're 18-1 to win it. So.
I already took a flyer Sunday
there you go.
Before they won that game.
The Greenlight Podcast welcomes you. Cowboy take me away. A great football conversation occurs today with the fellas. Chris Macon, Stanford Steve, we've got them all today. We recap the Monday Night Football games. The Titans and the Giants pulling off a couple upsets, a couple rookie quarterbacks making a name for themselves. We also revisit the Tony play. Some of us might have changed our tune. Maybe the Chiefs were robbed. Actually, we think the Chiefs were robbed. We talk scariest AFC teams in the NFL playoffs, and we determine the best bets for the NFL's Week 15 slate.
Steve.
Gentlemen.
What time's Easter, Macon? It's not even an Easter color, but.
You know, this is what I wear most days. This is what I usually
describe.
Wear. Button down, a sweater, a pair of khakis. You know, they're gray.
Docksiders? What we got in the feet? Let me see those big.
He called my shoes.
He called my shoes. They're definitely Docksiders with like insoles in them.
Hey, but Steve, listen up.
And they're like 15 years old.
You know, if you wore some fucking shoes with decent support, you wouldn't have to put goofy blue insoles in them. You could just wear some Nikes, you know?
No, but I put those in all my shoes, and I'm on the same platform no matter what I'm wearing.
That's true.
It's smart.
Yeah. Have you guys purchased a pair of Ons?
I'm wearing them right now.
Like ON. No, I haven't.
No,
me neither.
Feds thing, yeah?
I feel like I'll break them.
I'm into the Hokas.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh, yeah.
No, Steve, you won't break them. They're the most comfortable shoe I've ever worn.
Really?
My wife wears them.
Huh. I do see more
women. She dress you today, too?
Bro, this is what
my wife dressed me for Inside the NFL today, and it went over really well.
There we go.
Turtleneck.
Maybe she can help make it.
Yeah,
really, I'm Ron Burgundy.
Why do I need any help?
I'm wearing turtlenecks now. Jay Cutler, he's turtleneck guy. Every week I come in this burgundy turtleneck. He was shook. He could barely do the show.
I'm shook. I haven't even seen it yet.
Oh, it's fucking.
I'm tuning in tonight.
Fantastic.
Hey,
nice.
He got alpha'd. I totally alpha'd him. And, you know, to get out turtlenecked by a defensive lineman when you're Jay Cutler's bad deal.
Are you really wearing Hokas?
Fuck yeah, I'm wearing Hokas.
Like when you're running around?
Oh, I run in my Hokas.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not an ad. This is just the beginning of the show. We got a lot to talk about today, even though there's no college football. You got one more thing to say before
we get...
I'd like
to kick things off. Yeah.
Do it.
Steve.
Oh, yeah.
If you send me $500 today,
I
send you $550 tomorrow.
He's back.
Guaranteed. I'll sign my name to it.
Ambulance Chaser Energy.
Will you do that?
Can I ask how?
Sure. No, you can't. There is no how.
You send me sure, no, you can't. That's a little contrary.
It has to do with an app on his phone.
You're getting 10% in a day.
He's gambling again. I talked him into gambling.
There we go.
And he came in 3 days later.
Ostra plus 15 and a half.
He came in 3 days later, and he's like, guys, it's just like it was before. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, there needs to be an option to delete live tennis off of apps. Like,
yeah,
be
you're
like
still
a,
going back there.
Look,
come on,
it's
college
instant.
Hoop season.
It's instant.
But Borna Koric just looks so fucking juicy sitting there. Minus, I don't know how you bet.
Well,
tennis?
It's worse than that. It's people I've never heard of.
Yeah,
it's 6 a.m, but they're playing tennis.
What is it with you? Because there's no entertainment value in betting things you can't watch. And especially things that are happening in like China, basketball teams in Turkey you've never heard of. Like, what is it?
It's the dopamine hit.
I know, but you get way more dopamine just bet like a baseball game.
Well, last night, for instance, Here's a segue to Steve.
Okay.
I did Giants plus six.
Okay.
With the Dolphins Titans under, which felt great for a long time.
Boy, did it. We talked about this, and Steve, he gets to take a victory lap because I heard he was laughed off of TV for giving out Titans Giants teaser. The only thing I'm laughing about, Steve, is you could have just bet them both. And it would have been even better, but the Giants, that was the play last night when they flash up for our Little Caesars Monday night preview every Monday. I just want to warn people to listen to the show. Don't tell me you're tailing me on Monday night. Don't tail me on Monday night until you see me tweet it at 7:58 p.m. or 8:13 p.m. It takes time to marinate on these games, and we came to the conclusion that it was a Giants night and it was an overnight. Because we think Tommy DeVito is exactly who he was last night, KG. You know, and then in the Titans game, we were on the right side of that thing. We had what, a defensive touchdown early. We had a muff kick late, muff punt. We had the I thought for a second the Titans were. I don't believe this, but you would believe if you didn't know these guys that they were point shaving over the last 2 weeks. Two block punts at the end of the Indy game, and then the pitch to Henry. I was like, "Holy shit, dude!" Yeah. Somebody had the Titans, or somebody had the Dolphins minus 13.5, because the game went to 14, and of course the over hit. Of course, Will Levis moved the ball down the field and broke our hearts. But I took solace in the fact that the damn Titans won the game, because you know me. I'm never complaining when I'm proved right.
Ever?
No, I mean sometimes. But okay. In this situation, Dolphins are who we thought they were. No, here's the crazy thing. I've been doing these apps, right? I got the Caesars app. I'm trying to smash a parlay, plus 500 Tennessee, plus whatever it was, Giants, and I'm in the SUV riding up to Inside the NFL, and I'm in the back of the car, and I can't get the bet in because I'm in, like, Maryland. I'm like, waiting to get over the bridge. And before I can get over the bridge, it goes to, like, even money. Mm-hmm. It went from plus 500 somewhere in Ellicott City, and then by the time I was in Jersey, it was, like, an even money bet. So apps are...
You should send Maryland a bill.
I should send Maryland... What if I spent... Like a toll what thing. If I sent Maryland a bill for, like, $3,500? Yeah. I should.
Send it to him.
You guys are stupid.
Attention of Van Pelt.
Exactly. Whatever you're looking forward to this football season, there's one thing that pairs well with every great moment, and that is an ice-cold Miller Lite. Whether you're at the stadium playing fantasy football or watching the game at home or at the bar, Miller Lite is here to make your football season taste like Miller time. From kickoff to the clock runs out, you can't go wrong with a Miller Lite in your hand. It's the only light beer with a taste worthy of our national obsession. Because what's the point of having beer if it doesn't taste like beer? I go to Dirty Nelly's every weekend. Sometimes I'm prepping for the show at the bar on Saturday night, watching a little college football, getting ready to lay out our Miller Lite moments. I like to have an ice cold Miller Lite right next to me. And the folks at Dirty Nelly's, they know when I get there to have my ice-cold Miller Lite. It's got only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12-ounce serving with a smooth taste and a crisp, clean finish. You get the taste you crave without the calories. So this season, crack open a light beer that hits your taste buds so hard you feel it in your heart. Make it Miller time all season long. Get Miller Lite delivered right to your door. Visit MillerLite.com/greenlight. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs for 12 ounces. So I guess, guys, the place I want to start is this Tony play, because we can handle Monday Night Football in a second, but it's been a couple days since the end of that game. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up Monday morning, we did the show, Steve. Mm-hmm. I was on the side of, hey, just line the fuck up. You know, like, you've already cost them a game against the Lions. This receiver room hates Patrick Mahomes, it seems. And you cost them another game, and you're way off sides. And I read Carl Cheffer's whole report on this thing in the media pool and that sort of thing. Like, hey, when you're so far over the ball that we can't see the ball, we're going to call it. It's that bad, and we don't have to warn you. Now, my issue with that is, and I said to Nolan before we started the show, I wish I had more time to watch the sideline and see every Tony snap to see if this was the first time he was over the ball.
Because Dan Orlovsky did that for you.
Orlovsky did it. Good yep. police work by Dan Orlovsky. And I thought this is something that slid under the radar a little bit because there's a lot of people that don't want to say, hey, maybe the Chiefs had a point. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally unbiased here. I'm definitely a Chiefs apologist, if you want to call me that this year. Part of the reason is wait till we get to the Monday night breakdown featuring one of the AFC's best teams and Dolphins. Those are the types of teams they're going to have to beat in the playoffs, whether it's on the road or at home. I feel fine about it. But having said all that, I'm kind of on their side now because Carl Cheffers had five different opportunities to warn Kadarius Toney. And here's the kicker for me is I'm in Philly doing the show today, and we get to see things that you can't see on All 22. Mm-hmm. On All 22, it gets cut off, and you can't see if he's pointing to the official, making eye contact with Carl Cheffers. On the wide, on the sideline, actually, you can see there's a high angle that NFL Films has of the pre-play, and he is not only looking at Carl Cheffers, I believe he's pointing at Carl Cheffers. Mm-hmm. You can say he was offsides. I agree with you. You can say he's not a detail-oriented guy. We know that. We can say don't put yourself in the position of giving the game to Carl Cheffers to decide because he fucking hates you guys. All true. But if it's a new thing, I think that's all the more reason for you to warn the player. Because as a defensive lineman, neutral zone infractions, we're no strangers to it. I played with Robert Quinn. His head is the size of the Sphere in Las Vegas. He has no idea when he's over the line. So countless times we went back to the D-line bench and the coach would come over and say, hey, they're warning you, you're in the neutral zone. And the way it goes, either he forgets or he remembers. And usually they either call it or they don't. And that's the situation I think that should have played out in Kansas City, especially with a new rule that you're emphasizing. And it's because of the guards in these short yardage situations. Mm-hmm. That's why this is coming up right now. So I guess I'm just saying for people that saw the show on Monday, and I was like, tough cookies. And for you guys, I am on the side of the Chiefs on this one.
I can't disagree more. It's a rule. You know that. I think it comes down to attention to detail, Chris. And, you know, being an offensive guy, that was always – like I was in an H-back a lot of times. So, like, you always want to be – when you got a motion, you always want to be as close as you can to the line of scrimmage. And during practice that week, you are making sure, hey, guard and tackle, make sure you line up right because this is how – tight we got to be. You know, if you got to dig in and get inside a nine technique, if you got to come down and help the tackle on a double, that stuff is all practiced. And for it to be a tight slot and not be able to realize that, forget being looking out at the ref. You can look inside and know if you're good. And the idea that he did it so many times in the game, I can't get
that
over it.
It doesn't change anything for you.
No, it's a rule.
Yeah, but the rule is governed by a process, and the process was not followed.
Okay, it was followed last year against McLaurin, and he still blew the whistle.
In what situation?
Remember when Terry McLaurin looked back at the ref? He said he was okay, and he still threw the flag on him.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make it right.
I got it, but he's wrong in where he is.
That means they did it wrong. And I don't think I'm on an island here either. I mean, I can't tell who's on what side of this thing. I mean, everybody's on a different side of this thing, I feel like. But the guys on the desk today were kind of like, yeah, Jay Cutler was like, guys are lined up off sides all the time in these situations. All the time.
My issue also is how the Chiefs handled it. Right. And to me, I look at Patrick Mahomes as a guy – whatever. People call him the face of the league. That's fine. The best player in the world. I heard Larry Fitzgerald talking. Understood. But going on about Kelce's legacy and all this and taking that away, like, I just look at how they handled it, and it's pretty evident they haven't had to handle any adversity in this run of the Chiefs.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more.
This is a couldn't disagree more.
I couldn't disagree more. So, Steve, we just went through this today. I mean, like, you talk about the Super Bowl where they have everybody down. The entire year has been controversy. The entire year, whether it's you know, last week, MVS, the drops. Mm-hmm. You talk about being down 24-0 on the, you know, at home against the Texans. They've been punched in the mouth before. I disagree that they haven't handled adversity. I think the problem is there's a protocol and it wasn't followed, in my opinion.
Andy Reid has said today that Tony didn't check in with whoever was there on the side.
I saw it.
I see that he looks that way quickly, but I don't know if it's an official check-in. It seems to be black and white whether you're offsides or not.
Yeah.
What about that he literally does get an advantage on getting 5 yards down the field quicker and blowing up the defensive back, essentially creating a pick for Travis Kelce?
Oh, I mean, now, if you want to say there's an advantage created because of it, he didn't throw the flag knowing there's going to be an advantage created because of it. It's just like people saying that Carl Cheffers is trying to kill the Chiefs because he knows they're going to do that. He doesn't know that.
Right. We're playing the results a little bit because it was a cool-ass play.
I'm playing the results a little bit because I had the Chiefs minus two.
Okay. And my other thing going back to that is it's just so many self-inflicted wounds, Chris.
Yeah, I agree.
The Tony drop on third down, the fumbles, Rice, MVS having his issues over it, Mahomes just not being as good as we're accustomed to him to being, the defense not playing well. And to me, I look at the other side, and as desperate a team as there is in the NFL, just keep playing the next play. And I give the Bills a lot of credit, but I just look at the Chiefs as self-inflicted wounds. Yeah. And I think the totality of it all built up, and that's why you saw Mahomes on the sideline after that. I didn't like the way it was handled, and that's my biggest gripe.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I don't know. Like, I was in here on Monday, and Kyle and Nate were doing this whole like legacy talk with Pat. You know, like, it's just not what you want to look like at the. I really don't give a fuck. What I'm talking about is the game. You know, like, Patrick Mahomes. All right, he had a bad moment. You could say that.
Yeah.
But does it change the way you feel about Patrick Mahomes?
No.
You know, I had a guy in the chat on Monday, you know, on YouTube Live, who's like, if he would just act more like Tom Brady, I'm like, what are we talking about? No. Tom Brady was the biggest sore loser in NFL history. I mean, like, he would forego opportunities to shake guys' hands.
Correct.
And I love Tom. And I also think it comes from a place of he's just a fierce competitor and some people you can't understand. And, you know, like, am I going to make a mountain out of a molehill with a post-game presser? No, I'm not. But what my issue is, if you're talking about should they have been warned, I think they should have. And that did affect the outcome of the game, because if you don't give him an opportunity to know that he's a total fucking idiot, he's not going to know that, because he doesn't know it yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, like, if the expectation is, and I don't know, like, usually preseason they'll say, and this is the problem with increasing an emphasis mid-season. When you do that preseason, you have an officiating meeting in training camp. Everybody's in the room. All the four officials come in. They've been officiating your practices, and they stand at the front of the room, and you ask them questions, and they show you plays that will be emphasized. I can remember the first time they were like, hey, we're going to call penalties when you hit quarterbacks low, and we were like, oh, my God, fuck, like the whole thing. But we adjusted because they gave us an opportunity. That I don't believe that guys have had the opportunity to adjust to this thing, you know what I mean, in the proper way.
To being onside?
No, I'm. Did you ever play in the NFL? No offense.
I have not yet.
Okay.
No.
So when you're in the NFL, you're used to a standard operating procedure. If you're going to argue that any time you commit a penalty, you're just wrong, then I could pick out any play on any given Sunday and be like, well, that should have been called a penalty. The outcome of the game was changed. Penalties happen every play. Which penalties are they calling? What are they emphasizing? And how much warning do you have? That's the problem I have. The guy's a fucking idiot for being that far over the ball the entire game. Mm. But unless he knows, why not call it the first five times? That's my question to you guys. Why not call it the first couple times?
I'm with you there. Because the other argument that's starting after this is in – that's what I took away from how the Chiefs handle it, is like the game should be officiated differently at the point in the game. I can't stand that, that whole idea. But I'm with you. If it is five times during the course of the game, you got to bang them, because it's also getting to one thing. We could talk about it later, but this Lane Johnson thing is driving me crazy. I can't watch the Eagles and not see it every single snap. They have to bang them once on it. They have to.
This is like outlawing the tush push. Everybody leaves early.
No, not everybody. Because not everybody.
Dude, no, everybody. Pretty much everybody leaves early.
He is phenomenal.
No question. If he didn't leave early, it'd still be great. But
we all would.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. I used to practice against him. I can't even get out of my stance.
It's just noticeable with the naked eye to me. That's what's driving me nuts.
Isn't it that his foot can't land before the ball is snapped?
No, you can't move before the ball is snapped, technically.
But they're not emphasizing that.
Correct. That's the point. So, like, everybody's talking about this call and do the right thing. You could point to both those tackles leaving early all year long. We've done that with the Chiefs, no question. You could talk about holding. You could talk about they missed a call on Sunday that killed Dan Campbell. You know, that 4th and 13 should be 4th and 25 or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Where there was a grounding, the right end got tackled. People miss calls all the time. Why'd you get that call right? And why'd you miss the other five? I am asking that question now. On Monday, I was with you guys, which is just like, hey, it is what it is. But there is a process, and I don't think that they have an understanding of what that process is right now, because point blank, black and white, you didn't call it four other times during the game. You waited till 1:35 to go.
I know this is not the point you're making, but maybe it shouldn't be whoever that is, side judge, it shouldn't be his job to check in with every player on the line of scrimmage to give him a thumbs up.
Well, change the game completely then in one fell swoop, Mr. Commissioner.
Well,
because that's been...
Look at the ball.
No.
Look in.
No. I mean, guys who have played in the NFL for decades. I was sitting there with Chad Johnson today. You depend on that check-in. Now, his point was, if there's anything on the other side of it, is you have to... It would be good for Tony to wait for confirmation.
Yes.
But even if you're checking in, do you know what I'm saying by warning? Warning is not at the beginning of the play. It's not, hey, you're offsides. It's, I've walked over to your bench area and alerted a position coach. Mm-hmm. There is such a huge delta between that and what happened Sunday. That's my point.
Agree with you there.
You know, so anyways, I just think it's a hot topic, and the officiating every fucking week just continues to devolve. I mean, I know Jeff Fisher, if he was on the show, because he's competition committee, would say, these guys have the hardest job in the world, and I agree. Mm-hmm. But figure out a way to make it easier for them, because they're not doing a good job.
Have you thought at all, honest question, how you would feel if you had the Bills?
I would feel like he was offsides, but then after the game, when this happened, I would say, you know what? They got a point. Because, yeah, like that's okay. a couple bucks, but I lost a lot of money this weekend, and the Chiefs were just a tiny piece of that puzzle. So, I mean, you want to talk to me about the Eagles, okay? Like, mm-hmm. we could talk about the Eagles and teasers that did not work out, okay? So this is
– We do need an Eagles conversation.
When people disagree with you, and I'm not saying you, Steve, people listening at home, they often attach what they believe to be a bias. They project their feelings of you're biased, I'm not biased. When they come into the conversation, either hating the Chiefs or hating Patrick Mahomes, or they're mad at him about the outburst, so they don't want any credence to be acknowledged here in this argument. And I think this argument is actually a pretty good one, that they should have gotten a warning. But if you look at the Chiefs, dude,
yeah,
I'm not worried. I'm really not, because they can beat anybody in the AFC. Look at the team on Monday night.
That's the problem, is I think the game is more about the team who won.
Yeah.
I think that team's got some things figured out. And when you're watching Joe Brady now, and then it's just funny, Joe Brady coaching for the Bills, and then you see Pacheco out and Elair's playing for the Chiefs. James Cook in that Bills offense is doing a lot of things that Clyde Edwards-Helaire did for LSU when Joe Brady was calling plays, and I think they found something. I think they're as dangerous as there is in the AFC. Because they've gone on the road and played well enough to win games in a really, really brutal stretch, and I think they have that back-against-the-wall mentality. They had the issue with the locker room with McDermott this year. I do feel like they found themselves. Now, what do they get? They get the hottest team in the league coming to their place this week, so they get a chance to prove it again. But like Scott and I were talking last night, if you're going to bet on one team to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC right now, who are you taking?
I mean, it's funny. If you're assuming the Bills are in, there may be number two for me. I mean, right. or they're one, or they're somewhere in there with Baltimore and Kansas City.
Well,
I mean,
if you want to take a flyer, they're 18-1 to win it. So.
I already took a flyer. Sunday,
there you go.
Before they won that game. Me and Matt took a flyer in real time. And it's funny, Caesars, right after the game, was like a fucking... They were like, cash out, cash out. I was like, cash out. I'm like, nah, bitch. You're going to sweat this one.
Make it.
Because these Carl Cheffers cost me whatever I'm putting down on this future.
If you give me a dollar today, I could give you 18 on February 10th, possibly.
I give you a dollar today. You give me possibly.
Yeah.
No possibly. Well, he's talking about the bills.
I think.
My proposition.
Yeah.
But I'll give you a dollar back.
Well, look, it's $5.50. All right, what does that tell you right there? Is that some coincidental shit?
What is
or
it?
What? Because I'm offering to give him $550 tomorrow.
That's
if he gives me $500 today.
That's interesting.
And the time of the day is $5.50. I'll be damned.
You're going to feel like the guy that didn't invest in Apple or something.
Have you said no? Hey. Are you doing this? I can send you my Cash App.
Love Cash App.
This podcast is brought to you by Cash App, the all-in-one app for spending, sending, and setting easy-to-track savings goals. With multiple tools for saving, spending, and sending, Cash App is an all-in-one way to stay in control of your money. Whether I need to send money to my pumpkin grower, pay for anything related to floating the river, quickly pay back a buddy for a night out on the town, or settle a bet, I can always count on Cash App. With security, boosts, discounts, a free-to-order debit card, no overdraft fees, Cash App is like a BFF for your money. It can be your Reed. Reed's my BFF in the studio. Cash App, the exclusive financial services partner of Greenlight. Download it in the App Store or Google Play to see why it's the number one finance app in the U.S. App Store. Real quick here, we're going to talk about Miami because they are still a team that chances are going to host a playoff game. Although last night you texted me, Bills win the division. And I said, I'm not so sure that's not the worst call in the world. I mean, because the Dolphins got some good teams they got to play still. I thought the book on them was that they beat up all the bad teams and they lose to the good teams. This is a bad loss. And I know they had Cheetah out and that sort of thing. But my problem with Miami has always been, and people call me a hater and that sort of thing, it's fine. Watch the game. They need things perfect. This coach, he's a hell of a coach, but the scheme and ultimately the quarterback, it hinges on perfection. It hinges on timing being perfect. It hinges on things being in phase. The way I think about Tua is, man, if you'd have put him in one of those quarterback challenges back in the day when Dan Marino was out there in short shorts throwing the ball into like little hoops, Tua would dominate that competition. I still don't think he has the strongest arm. I don't think he's hitting the whole way down the field. But in the intermediate game, if there is like if it's 7-on-7, he throws a pretty and accurate ball into tight windows. But there's so many of these situations that I see, whether it's because the lights are bright or because he's got a tackle or a couple, four offensive linemen down yesterday. Mm-hmm. I still don't blame that on the O-line, what happened last night. He had 2.7 to throw. His average is 2.37 on the year. The way I look at Tua is if you can get the ball out in 2.3 seconds, he's as good as anybody in the league if things are on time. But the reality is as the pressure mounts figuratively and literally and you play better teams, they take away windows, they affect the pocket, and you have to play off schedule. It is no longer paint by numbers. And when he gets in these situations, like the 3rd and 6 at the end of the game last night where they have Arden Key and Harold Landry lined up on one side and they run a game, and Key's lined up inside and he loops and they go speed over on that side to his blind side. He turns and it's open on 3rd and 6, and it's a huge 3rd and 6 in the game, and Key just flashes his hands, you know, as he's running by the tackle through that throwing window. That momentary closing of the window is enough for Tua to say, where do I go? And a lot of guys are going to change the arm angle. A lot of guys are going to move a little bit, find the window. A lot of guys are going to put some touch on it and put it over his hands. You might disagree with me about that play, but you can't disagree with me at this point about the fact that it consistently happens. When the heat is turned up, when the pressure's turned up, like that fourth down to finish the game, you know, like, you got to get that ball off. Smythe is there at the sticks. It's got to come out now. Cheetah, you could take that throw. Anything but turtle in the pocket in the red zone after one of the field goals that they kicked. You know, he falls down. Mm-hmm. I don't hate the guy. He's a good football player. They've done some amazing things. He's going to throw for 4,500 yards this year. Okay, that's a great year. But every time you talk to Dolphins fans, it's like, look what this offense has done. Yeah, but the film looked like this today. But yeah, but look at the sum of the parts here, and look at the numbers, the raw numbers. This thing hasn't been done before. You know how many quarterbacks have thrown for 4,500 yards? A fuck ton of them. Okay, so if you're talking about, is he the guy in Miami? Tell me, was Trent Green in Kansas City in 2004 a guy that you're going to hitch your wagon to in the future? Because he threw for 4,500 yards. Kirk Cousins has done it twice. He did it in Washington. Derek Carr's done it. So at some point, you got to stop hiding behind the numbers, and we look at the tape and we make our determination off the tape. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I look at this team and when I look at the quarterback especially, I don't believe in them, and I can't fake it. I don't believe in this team. And so if you talk about the AFC and you talk about the Dolphins, or you talk about the Jaguars, like the Chiefs, I mean, the Baltimore Ravens are still a tough test. I'm not saying Miami's not a tough team, but they can get there, because you watched that game last night, and I don't know if they know what it takes to win.
Have you guys watched Hard Knocks with the Dolphins?
No.
No. No. Okay. It's pretty fascinating. And the biggest thing to me is McDaniel and how he handles things. And one side thing that they had Phillips mic'd up the whole game for the Jets, and it's excruciating watching him go down. Anyway, I cannot wait for this week's episode, because they were in almost like you're watching this team and how good things are. And they document, obviously, going to play the Commanders. And it's like, there's not a worry in the world.
Yeah.
And, Chris, you touched on it before. When you don't have – what's your plan B, right? Defense coordinators, the great ones. Hey, we got how many barrels in the gun? We're gonna have that thing filled. If the chamber one doesn't work, we got 2, 3, 4, 5. And when I think about the offense coordinators, the great ones, they always got a plan B, a plan C. You know, you could even break it down to getting your backup quarterback enough reps. If anything, you know, you have offense coordinators you come across that are petrified of that and always get probably more reps for a backup than they should be getting. But when you look at this, you said it. You know, they lose Cheetah, and the first fumble, they look distraught. I thought the defense really that I'm a fan of. Showed frustration when they didn't need to. The Chubb penalty is a huge, huge play.
That could be the game there. I mean, you're talking about Will Levis trucks Jalen Ramsey, but he's short of the sticks. Well, he didn't truck Jalen Ramsey, but he's like going balls out. He's way short of the sticks. You're frustrated. You miss the sack. You throw your helmet, and it's like, you know what's going to happen.
Yep.
You know what's going to happen. They're going to score now.
Yeah. And when it came down to it, they couldn't get to Levis. And this is another conversation, because I had – thinking of it with Levis and DeVito, what's a quarterback's favorite situation in a game?
Probably being down two scores late.
How about 2 minutes?
Yeah, 2 minutes. Any two minutes, but especially when it's some yards up here, which at one point
love
it. That. Yeah.
Like, you go back to watching preseason games, guys, they'll fight to be in there at the fourth quarter because they know they get more 2 minute possession.
Pass rushers, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one thing we got in common, quarterbacks
and
pass rushers.
And when you look at the Titans, Levis was as good as he was this season on those two possessions. They had a plan. The deep over to Hopkins gets everything going. And defensively, Miami, they could not get a stop when they needed it. And that's what was really, really eye-opening to me with the Dolphins. Because, like I said, I knew they lost Phillips. I love that defensive line the whole season. I thought that was a part of their team that got overlooked a lot. But when you are up two scores against the Tennessee Titans and you can't get a stop to win the game, and looking at seeing how comfortable – Levis was in that situation, and now you flip it. All you need is a field goal, and Tua doesn't have it. In the possession before, when they're down six, I thought McDaniel really, really he has to regret running the ball in the middle of the line three times with Tyreek on the sideline, not even giving a threat to maybe, hey, we're going to throw the ball and get one first down and put this out. That was really, really – I'm not
that
saying –
That was bad. That was – kicking a field goal was bad early in the game on the one-yard line. What does that tell you?
I'm not saying they panicked, but I thought it was the first time where we really got to see this cool, calm, collective guy with his shades on and everything and his sweatpants on. When it came down to it, there's no way he's not regretting what he did in that situation running Mostert into the line with Tyreek. And I thought Orlovsky and Lewis did a great job pointing out, like, hey, Tyreek's on the sideline. They are not throwing the football here. And sure enough, they run in the middle of the line three times, and Tennessee gets the ball back. So that's what was eye-opening to me, because this guy that's got so much bravado and never afraid for words, I thought they gave it away.
You know, Jared Goff's another name that's on this 4,500-yard club list. Mm. You know, and he's done it twice.
Jets, Cowboys, Ravens, yep. Bills down the stretch. Dolphins are 9-4.
And I want to give credit to Mike Vrabel, because we said coming to this game on the Monday show, this is the one thing you take to the bank. This is a spot where Mike Vrabel will muddy it up. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like in the past where he's gone to Kansas City and he was starting Blake Willis. And you're just like leaning on the run game and playing keep away. Yeah. Like, they were playing real football.
Yep.
They were hitting big chunks on crossers. They were running the ball at times. You know, he was extending plays. Like, it looked like a real NFL offense. And Mike Vrabel just muddied things up enough. Think about overcoming a pick six on the road to go down 7-0. Statistically, when you
on a screen,
you're supposed to lose
on
a game.
A screen on a screen. Defensive lineman. No offense.
767 teams. Sealer's not a bad player. 767 teams since 2016 in that situation. 434 down 13 plus. 434 to go in the game. I had to check the math. I didn't even know there were 767 games since fucking 2016.
You did that math?
We did it.
I looked at the games a year, and I was like, okay, this checks out. That's a lot of games. There's a lot of blowouts, too. But the point is, they're the only people to give this up. And I got to give some credit to the Titans, because they didn't flinch, and Will Levis didn't flinch. And if you look at a guy that's like had varsity blues energy,
yelling a lot,
it's this guy.
Yeah.
And that plays, man. When things are going well, guys rally around that guy.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about the Dolphins to close is that's what's so confusing is I thought – they would lose a game like this because they tried to get too cute.
Yeah.
And he went the total opposite way and went way too conservative.
Yeah.
And that's what's amazing to me, because when I look at Mike McDaniel, I think new school. He is the epitome of this new school mentality of football. When you're talking about analytics and run game and crossers and all the everything from an offensive mindset. And when it came down to it, he went ultra conservative, and I was shocked.
I just think this offense – and I believe in this coach can run with a lot of guys at the helm. And if you don't have a guy that can extend a play and make a play, we came out of the highlight today on inside, and we're talking about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And the next game we break down is Miami. And I'm like, these two fucking guys, the play's never over. The play goes six seconds with Josh Allen, and my ass cheeks are clenched. And it's the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. If I'm on the other side of a Miami bet and the play goes 3 seconds, I know something bad's going to happen or nothing. And that's the problem. NFL plays extend oftentimes past perfectly timed passing concepts that take 2.3, 2.5 seconds. And when Cheetah goes out, you could hear the whole stadium. It was like, it was the eeriest sound, dude. It was like they've been so good at home and they were all shell-shocked. And I felt like, to your point, Mike was shell-shocked. He didn't look like himself making decisions. Tua was shell-shocked. The whole group was. And Bradley Chubb, after the game, is talking about, you know, yeah, we probably let our foot off the gas. And when you see the goal in front of us, and I'm paraphrasing, you kind of, it's human nature to get complacent. Not in this league. Mm-mm. In this league, you got to play like your fucking hair's on fire and like people are coming to kill you. Because that's the only mentality that's going to get you over the finish line in a race for home field. There is nothing you can take for granted. Everybody can beat you.
Cheetah said that he texted his wife at halftime.
And she said, get out on the fucking field.
Your last your last year in the league.
Yeah.
If you're going to put a percentage on guys that got on their cell phone at halftime, what's the percentage of the locker room?
20? I mean, okay. You know, maybe somebody might not. I would hope you're not checking your timeline. Maybe you might listen to some music, check a score somewhere else. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You're getting that in the game, too. But if you're texting people and shit, that's going
to
be.
What are you not allowed to do? Social media?
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing that. Rules, there was a guy, Kenny Gainwell, who I really like in Philly. He got on and was like answering angry DMs in the middle of a Philly game. Right. I'm like, damn, what are we doing? Anyways.
And just being at these games on Monday night, like, it really hits me. You grew up with it, Chris. You played it. The idea that that halftime is 12 minutes is just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
NBA halftimes are longer.
No, I know. It's not a lot of time.
It's crazy to me.
It's not a lot of time, which is why it's always impressive teams that can actually adjust it.
No doubt. No doubt.
You said Mahomes and Allen extend plays. Who are the best stationary quarterbacks today?
It's a I almost feel like the list is non-existent. Joe Flacco.
Rodgers IR. Yeah.
But I saw Joe Flacco extend a play against the Jags. Mm-hmm. That was like, I don't know if they can do that in Miami.
Stafford's pretty good.
Stafford can't fucking move. The guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, totally talk about agree. A guy who's going the other way. His star is rising. I was with a couple of my paisans last night in Philly watching this game on a cell phone. And I really was, dude.
Steve, can we?
They were doing this the whole night.
Can we stagger those two games by 45 minutes? What was the deal with that?
Nah, man.
I don't know. I don't.
Some of us only have one television.
Some of us didn't expect to see two classics, right? You know, like usually
they were two unbelievable games. Two great games. Crazy.
Case in point with the NFL, like I'll be back in the chow line Thursday for Raiders and whoever the fuck they play. They play Easton Stick. Okay, so let's talk about DeVito, because this is the closest thing to Linsanity that I've seen. I know we talked about this before, like what are some Linsanity-like runs? This is the Linsanity run, but with the Giants. And I don't know if it's going to last forever. It probably doesn't. But this kid's playing some good ball. He's cagey. That's why we were on the Giants. That's why we were on the over. And on the other side of things, for the Packers, I don't think that game from Jordan Love makes me think we're wrong about him. I still really like the guy. We're looking at a small sample size. We get excited about the small sample size. We get down on him about the small sample size. This was a tough spot on the road for a team that, quite frankly, is not quite ready to win all the time yet. They're going to lose some games like this. They got to slide in the playoffs. The wide receiver room got depleted as the game went on. Get Christian Watson down. My guy Wicks goes down, right? And I felt like in some situations he was let down by the wide receivers, but he missed some throws. I mean, he just did. And he's got to just flush it. I mean, he really does. But the one thing I worry about with this team, if you're talking about right now, is Saquon Barkley and that rushing attack. They ran the ball all over these guys. And I was just impressed. I'm impressed by how quickly the vibe can change because of something like a quarterback in a city with DeVito, who I don't know if he's better than Daniel Jones, but his relationship with Brian Daboll seems like it might be better. Their working relationship, the whole thing. And I think if you're Daboll, you're saying, I can coach, man. See? I mean, like.
No doubt.
It's fun to watch.
Let's let the Giants fan go.
Yeah, go.
I spent all night. PFF has a really nice mock draft where you can sit in there and draft seven rounds. I was trading Daniel Jones everywhere, left, right, up, down. I was getting not because of cutlets either, but because it can just look so simple with a guy like Tommy DeVito from Illinois, 8-4, beat Virginia 24-3. I'm not upset about the draft positioning. Steve, right now it's 8. You got a good roll tide player there. You got Dallas Turner or Kool-Aid McKinstry. A lot of options there. It's going to be fun at 8. I think the takeaway is faith in Daboll, faith in the plan. But it goes back several years to taking a running back 2 overall and then deciding not to franchise the quarterback, but instead give him a boatload of money that now puts you into a little bit of a straitjacket here with the cap, et cetera.
Which sounds like you don't feel that. I mean, you didn't find a trade?
No, I sent him to Chicago for Justin Fields.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
I got the 7. I was picking at 5 and 7.
Yeah.
I got Neighbors and Brock Bowers for Justin Fields in New York. It was a lot of fun. You want to see the trade?
Yeah, sure.
The Giants get Justin Fields, the fifth overall, a fourth and 25, a fifth and 25, a sixth and 25. We send Daniel Jones to Chicago for the 39th this year, the 47th this year, and the 71st this year. I took Marvin Harrison at fifth overall. Then I do three more trades. I go down to 18, take Malik Neighbors. It's going to take a long time to read all those. But
why do the Bears want Daniel Jones?
Couldn't figure that out
okay.
either.
Okay. Yeah. That's going to be the biggest issue with this trade.
But
okay.
They got 2 seconds in the third.
You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Game Time makes it easy to find and buy tickets for every kind of event in your area, even last-minute deals. I know because I always wait till the last minute. You can preview the views from all your seats in the venue and Game Time's lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, protects my tickets. What I need. Game Time is obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. With zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for big time savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code GREENLIGHT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code GREENLIGHT, GREENLIGHT. That's the code for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
I got to get ready to go to see Santa. So let's get these locks in.
The idea of Santa is real.
I went a big 0 for 3. I'm 21, 19, and 2. Steve, 22, 19,
and 1. I went 1-1 and 1, right?
Yeah, he went 1-1 and 1. Welcome to the Push Club. And then Macon, 23 and 19. Now you're laughing, but if you're at home and you've been tailing me, you're really laughing the most because you lost the least money with me. No, that's not true.
You made the most money.
You made the most money with Macon, but you pushed the most times with me, which is exciting.
That is exciting.
So
that is exciting.
Let's
Chris, you're up first.
Yeah, I'll take the Buffalo Bills.
God bless.
Minus 2.5.
Wow.
All business. Somebody today made a bet with me on the side, pretty hefty.
On that game?
Oh yeah, Dallas fan. You know what I did to them?
Buffalo.
You know what I did to them?
What?
I said, you believe? You believe in the Cowboys are going to win the game? I'll take the Bills to win straight up. They said, no problem. I don't even need to lay the points.
Oh, nice.
That's the nice thing about making those bets.
Congratulations.
All right, well, Steve, you're up.
You're going to lose now.
Nah. Me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're in second place.
There ain't no cutlets in New Orleans. Give me the Saints.
Woo.
Saints minus 6.
Okay.
There ain't no cutlets in New Orleans. I guess there aren't a lot of Italian people in New Orleans. Somebody needs to look at Italian population.
Some real food.
Yeah. Well, I like their food too, but easy, Paisan. Tommy DeVito's agent, while we're waiting for Macon's pick, looks like he is an extra on the mask. looks like he had to check his Tommy gun at security before he walked into MetLife.
Get right game for the Detroit Lions. Minus 5 on Saturday night against the Denver Broncos.
Very interesting game.
You're taking the Detroit Lions?
Yes, sir.
Smart play. I looked at that hard when it was at like 3.5. Now it's moved.
Yeah, but listen to this.
Yeah.
27-13.
I love it when you do this. Okay.
Dan Campbell said that Sean Payton's going to come in and try to embarrass the Lions. Is he playing mind games?
No, he's right. Sean Payton's coming for his heart, and he knows Sean Payton. Sean Payton wants to – he's seeing a wounded animal.
Played for him.
Yeah, right. He knows Sean. Yeah. Oh, is it me? Okay. Let me take the Atlanta Falcons.
Fuck.
-3. I think this is a bounce back weekend for them. I made a joke on Inside today that the guys laughed at. They thought it was funny, but they didn't get it. Okay, so we come out of the Atlanta highlight, and they're like, "This is the guys on the sideline." He's like, "Desmond, this is gonna be legendary." And then the fucking the play by play guy for Atlanta is like, "This could be legendary." And he throws the ball, and it's 7 yards short of the goal line. Wow. We come out of the highlight. I go, "RC, I got a joke." And he's like, "All right, go for it." And I'm like, "That's like when they leave your DoorDash order, you know, a couple feet short of the door." And they all fucking start laughing, but none of them have seen the Desmond Ritter DoorDash commercials. So what do you think? Do you think that they didn't think it was funny?
Yeah, no. They have bad senses of humor.
It's their fault. They give me a laugh.
Good one. You might
good.
Have a good half point good. Candidate there for you right there.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
I'm claiming this for the rest of the season. I'm going against the Commies. Give me the Rams -6.5.
Wow.
Okay. Okay.
This is shaping up.
Jacksonville Jaguars at home Sunday night. I am taking them +3.5 points against the Baltimore.
Really good play. Played that in real life. Nolan doesn't like it. I think the Ravens at some point you're going to be like, damn, the offense isn't the same. And the Jags are wounded. Trevor Lawrence is not wounded, though. I feel better about Trevor Lawrence today than I did 4 days ago. Because he's healthy. They didn't lose that game because he was hurt.
Correct.
Steve, they scored 30 points in Cleveland. That's tough. I'll take the Vikings and the Bengals -39.
Mm.
B-Flow versus Mr. Browning. Mm. Might jam that rifle.
God, I want to get on it.
Nice pick. Steve, your last pick.
I want to get on a total.
You guys all still have your half point.
Yep. Give me the Bears plus add the half, 3.5.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Matt, so I'm gonna take my half point as suggested against the Panthers there, yeah.
Matt, I'd like to take the Cleveland Browns -3 points, half point to -2.5.
Gotcha.
America's team, the Bears.
That's when the lead dog gets to single somebody out, go against them.
So I got to root against a team that I bet in the Jags. I got to root against the Lions. Okay, that's not too hard. 5 points, that could still be a Lions win. And then easy, I'm going to root for the Bears.
Okay, well,
those are my rooting interests. Steve,
that's going to hurt.
Thanks, buddy.
I don't care. Steve didn't come in here after good weeks and peacocks around, you know.
I see the peacocking. No. What you really don't want is a Browns 3-point win there.
No.
You're going to be in bad shape.
Yeah, bad shape.
A bad day.
Bad day at the office. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to go see Santa. Good luck. These are suggestions, not locks.
Love you, Steve.
Love you too.
Love you, Steve.
Shout out to the branch.
Shout out.
I'm gonna bite you.